It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. You're listening to CGM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. Rochelle Skippers is back on the show today for part two of our Wedding Planning A to Z show. Rochelle is co-owner of A Perfect Day, co-founder of Windsor's Wedding Workshop, and administrative assistant of Jacques Skippers Photography, and also second shooter. And Rochelle, does that make Jacques the big shooter?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Us guys don't often get the role of big shooter in the of the husband-wife team, do we?
Yeah, giving them all the credit.
So we ended off on L last week, I guess, which was for laughter. We talked about my Uncle Milty, good old Milton Berle. We're starting on M today. And let's get right into it. M is for money. Budget your wedding carefully and make sure you can afford it. Don't start married life in a financial mess. So do most weddings end up being on budget? Is the budget easy to lose focus of through the planning stages?
That's a really good question, actually, because it is extremely easy to lose focus of the budget. And to be honest, as a wedding planner since 2007, I'll tell you, the number one mistake that brides do is they start booking their vendors before they write down their budget all mm-hmm. the time. Like, I see it all the time. So I always tell people, like, find out how much savings that you have put away for your wedding, and then how much your family is going to contribute to your wedding, and then also how much you guys are going to put away on a monthly basis. So when you add up all those numbers, the savings, the family contribution, and the couple contribution, then you have figured out your budget number that you actually have to play with. And then what you want to do is you want to take the budget number and you want to allocate those funds between all the different vendor categories, but then you got to stick to it, right? So if you budgeted $3,000 for your dress and then you want to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on your dress, then you have to actually reduce that money that's spent in another category. So I find that that's the biggest thing that couples argue a lot about, the money. So if you actually sit down and create the budget together, it alleviates a lot of arguments throughout the planning.
Good advice. N for nails. Make sure they're at least manicured, preferably with a clear or opaque polish for showing off that all-important ring. Everyone will want to see that, of course. Do you recommend airbrushing designs, or should they just be very plain, would you say? And this is obviously for the bride, right?
Not the, yes, exactly. Not the, well, yeah, you know, a lot of men do get manicured.
Well, manicured, sure, but
yeah, for
but
example,
maybe not the airbrushing or the
exactly. Not that I know of in my experience, but your hands are definitely going to be in the pictures. But one of the biggest things that people do when they see you at the wedding is they ask to see your ring.
Right. Sure.
And when your nails are not the way that you want them, or you're going to be embarrassed of your hands. It's pretty common, actually, for brides. They're always nervous. Like, the minute someone says, let me see your ring, they're like, oh, don't look at my fingers.
Yeah, I've spent the last 2 months biting my nails off.
Exactly. So I always suggest to go with a French manicure look, because it's not crazy. It's not taking away from the ring. And then don't do it too soon, though. I always tell brides, do it the Thursday before your wedding. Like, if you're getting married on Saturday, do it on Thursday, because it chips.
Right.
So sure. If you do it on the Monday, you have to go back on Thursday and get it fixed before the wedding. But then when you're talking about waxing and that kind of thing, you want to do it the week before your wedding. Because mm-hmm. if you have any type of reaction, it'll be gone by the time the wedding comes, right?
For the nails, though, as far as like design or airbrush or something, you wouldn't want something like that.
No.
That'll
take away.
Take away from the ring,
yeah,
more than anything, I guess?
Yeah. The focus is on the bride and the dress and, of course, the ring. So yeah. Anything that's going to be like, whoa, like you don't want to take away attention from what's important.
Or none of those hanging. Don't they sometimes put a hole through their nail with some hanging thing, like a little earring things? Have you seen that or no?
I haven't seen that yet.
Maybe I just dreamt about that one. I'm not sure. And getting the nails done on, say, Thursday as opposed to Friday or something like that, that's...
Yeah, I always... You know what?
Is there a reason not to get it done closer? Or no?
You mean like two days prior?
Is it because of time, maybe?
I personally think that Friday should be like, try to do nothing.
Oh, okay.
Because you're literally the day before your wedding, and then all of a sudden you have all this craziness, and you're just so stressed. Like, go relax on 2 days before the wedding, so the Thursday... And then Friday, try to do the least amount as possible.
Okay. That should have been our F, Friday. Just relax on Friday.
Yes, absolutely.
An important one. Okay. Another great tip from from Michelle. And O is for organization. Careful organization of every aspect of a wedding is the key to success, not only for a smooth wedding day, but this probably works hand in hand with the budget as well. I'm going to say probably to stay on track if you're well organized. So
yes,
talk a little bit about organization.
100%. And it's funny that you actually mentioned the budget thing, because if you don't keep track of all that stuff, it can get out of hand, because you got to keep, you know, that's the other thing is keep yourself organized. I always suggest people get an accordion folder. It's kind of, you know, you open the top and then you've got all these little, it looks like a mini file, so that you can actually slide in to the decor, your swatches, your colors, your this, your that, your contracts. So every single vendor will have their own little folder. And you just put everything in. And if they've given you like a slip with here's your receipt, just stick it in there. So every time you need something, it's in that accordion folder, and you just bring it to all the different vendors. Mm-hmm. So it's very important with the organization too, is to keep your contracts. And a lot of times people, a receipt's not a contract. Mm-hmm. And people change their mind. Like they'll say, oh, when you get married, this and this and this will happen, or this is in the package. But then come the wedding, they're like, I would have never said that. So that's an extremely important.
So they actually get rid of, sometimes get rid of the contract before the wedding date, actually.
No, they don't always give a contract.
Oh, the, you don't always get them from a vendor, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I always tell my brides, I say, when you go to vendors, you make sure that you have a contract.
I see, yeah.
Because sometimes they'll just give them a receipt. Paid for the bronze package, $500 deposit. That's not a contract.
Right, right.
So to keep it very organized, and if they say, oh, I'm going to throw in, I don't know, 200 thank you cards, make sure they write it down. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have it on the contract. Like everything has to be organized in an order so that when they say, I would have never said this, you can pull out your contract and you have it, right?
And vendors generally will always have a contract, basically?
Well,
will they?
90% of professional vendors. Mm-hmm. But I still, like, as a wedding planner, I see it all the time that brides are like, oh, no, like, they just gave me this receipt and they'll show me this little receipt. And right. I'm like, that's not a contract. Go get a proper contract. What is the bronze package photography? Mm-hmm. Like, bronze package photography in a year from now is probably not going to be the same thing as it is now. So get all the details and everything that's entailed so that there's no issues later. Because I've seen a lot of nightmares when people don't have proper contracts.
Sure. And like any other business, I guess, and you mentioned a good point there, is that things change over time. And generally, you're taking care of these things months and months in advance, or a year or more in advance. You know, these packages or the things that are offered could change. So
absolutely. 100%.
Contract is very important. That might maybe that should have been our C, is the contract. P is for photographer. I know you're going to be able to speak quite a bit on this subject. So make sure you've seen previous examples of their work before you book them. Get a written quote. What's your advice in this area, Rochelle? And this is what you do. So what's the most important advice, I guess, that you'd offer people when looking for a photographer?
Well, photography and videography are the only two things that you're going to have. Like, those are the memories that you're going to have left of the day, right? Mm-hmm. After the fact. So I always tell people, don't choose a friend to gift you your wedding photography. Like, for example, if it's a professional wedding photographer, I mean, go ahead.
That's your friend.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But I mean, a lot of times I'll hear like, I have a friend, they're taking such and such in school and they just bought a really good camera.
They're going to practice on my wedding. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like your wedding is not the time to be practicing, and people don't understand that. They think that the camera does all the work. And that's not the fact. It's like telling a chef oh my gosh, you must have a really good oven because your food is amazing.
Right.
So it's like with videography and photography, you have to hire a professional or else you're going to end up with blurry pictures, out of focus pictures, dark photos, that kind of thing. And then the other thing is not just seeing examples of their work, because, you know, most brides, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go online. They're going to look at your pictures and that kind of thing.
Sure.
But hire a professional wedding photographer, not someone that's, you know, we do wedding photography strictly, my husband's business, but we went, you know, on an important event where somebody had, I don't know, like car racing or something like that. We wouldn't just go and take pictures of something that was really important of that. That's not our specialty.
Right, sure.
Right? Yeah. So it's the same thing. If someone's an amazing baby photography, it's not the same thing
doesn't
as
mean
wedding
that they're amazing
photography.
Wedding photographer.
Exactly.
Right?
And there's a lot of equipment that you have to have. I always tell people, hire professionals with backup equipment, backup cameras, proper lighting. I mean, we're in situations where these are very dark halls, very dark churches. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have the proper lighting, it's going to show in your photos.
Sure.
That's what, you know, it's not just about seeing the examples of the work. It's a lot more than that. Asking questions like, what do you specialize in? Do you have a second shooter? Do you have an assistant? How do you deal with the family photography? Does it take you an hour as opposed to 20 minutes? How do you make sure that I'm back on time to my reception?
Sure.
One of the biggest things, if you're interviewing vendors and they are not, like if you ask them a timeline question like that, like how do you make sure that I'm back to my reception on time and that kind of thing, and they can't answer those questions?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a red light.
That's a great point though, that you mentioned asking questions. And so you should probably have a list of those when you go and talk to any of these vendors, probably, because either Absolutely. You're going to forget something and it's going to definitely be something important because you want everything answered. Q is for qualms. Most people suffer from a few qualms before the big day. It's probably perfectly normal. Are there a lot of arguments leading up to, or is that anything that you see in, you know, the planning stages of a wedding kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And, I mean, there's a lot of uneasy feelings that people might have, a bit of fear surrounding the day. Most women...
Cold feet.
Well, hey, it happens, right?
I'm sure it does, yeah.
But most women is not the cold feet. It's usually they want everything to be perfect, mm-hmm. right? And so that's normal. So I always recommend make sure you have a wedding day coordinator, or at least somebody that is like a family member or like an aunt or a really close friend that can actually take charge of the day and go through things and be like, okay, this is what's supposed to happen. This is your timeline. And I'm going to make sure everything goes as planned. So it's kind of like your mediator. So if anything is missing, they could take care of it. Right. So that alleviates a lot of stress because you can't run your day. It doesn't matter how well you've planned it. You can't run your day. You're going to be off taking pictures and this and that. Right. The other thing I always suggest is, some people actually close the sale of their house the month of their wedding. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them to try not to do that. Like do it a few months prior or whatever. But, that's a big one. A lot of couples are going to move in together or, you know, change and buy a house together or whatever. But if you make that the last few weeks, I have seen brides just have major meltdowns because it's too much stress.
Sure.
Just buying a house itself is very stressful. So, bottom line is delegate. You know, you can't do it all. So you delegate a portion to your groom, delegate a portion to your family, delegate a portion to your bridesmaids, and then you'll be a lot less stressed.
R is for reception. This is an enjoyable part of the day, of course. And so you want to keep it traditional, simple, possibly not too long. Don't settle for the first place that's available. Make sure you visit the reception room and see examples of the menu before making any commitment. Get a written statement of what the venue intends to provide. Maybe you can give us some advice on the reception.
Yes, absolutely. The main thing with reception is by the time your wedding comes, they might have forgotten about what they've promised you. So kind of similar to what I was talking about a couple points ago, they might have a different staff member that is now taking over your file. Maybe that person you originally talked to a year and a half ago doesn't even work there anymore. So whatever the reception staff promises you, write it down and have them give it to you. I had a nightmare actually like that before, where a bride of mine had booked a hall, and then she said, oh, she goes, I know that the whatever hall, they're including the chair covers. And I'm like, I have worked there for 5 years. I promise you there is no chair covers there, you know, to be had. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm sure, blah, blah, blah. So sure enough, it wasn't in writing. So by the time that she double checked with the person, they were like, we would have never said that, blah, 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 blah. So that's my biggest thing with the reception. A lot of things change with the reception, mm-hmm. even prices and all that stuff. Sure. So get those answers. Reception is one of the only areas that can change their prices. It'll say subject to change. So the one, the vendors that do that. And then, of course, like you said, the tasting. Most professional halls will have a tasting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you could pay with, you can have the tasting and they'll just throw it on your wedding bill mm-hmm. on the wedding day. Sometimes it's free, depends on the hall. But most professional halls will have okay. a tasting, so...
S is for speech. The main men usually make them, but these days the bride often has to does a speech as well, I guess. And I don't know if that's a UK thing.
Yeah, that's a UK okay. thing. We're going to upset some women here, you know.
Because from what I see, everybody makes speeches. I guess do it if you feel comfortable and use notes if you need to.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, nowadays, especially in Canada, I don't know if it's a UK thing where mainly the men do the speeches. But
Canada's a UK thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, men and women usually partake in the speeches. And even sometimes you might have a gentleman where he's just really afraid of speaking or vice versa.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so usually one of them will say, you know what, don't worry, I'll do the speaking, right? But yeah, absolutely. Like you said, use notes, because what I noticed is people usually forget to thank people.
Right, sure.
So if they don't have like even just like bullet points, mm-hmm. they'll forget to thank their vendors. They'll forget to thank their groom,
right,
you know,
sure.
and just kind of like tell them, you know, how excited they are about spending their life together. So definitely write some bullet points so you don't forget who to thank. The parents, don't forget to thank your parents.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
T is for transport. Everyone needs to get to the church on time. So make sure arrangements for this are spot on. Again, get several written quotes before choosing, I guess, somebody for transportation.
Absolutely. I am a huge believer. I know it's a little bit expensive. You're talking between $1,000 to $2,000 usually on average for a limousine, an SUV, a party bus, whatever.
Corvette.
yeah.
Does that happen?
Hey, helicopter.
Sports cars. And, yeah, helicopter, sure.
Hey, you know, I've done it on, you know, we have weddings where they come in on horses too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, definitely have transportation for the entire wedding party. Because I have done a couple weddings before where the bride and groom were adamant over, no, everyone's just going to drive themselves. And it becomes a nightmare. Because then if people are late, and it has happened, then during that portion where maybe they have wedding party pictures or whatever, that person's not in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get there, it's too late. So I really recommend getting proper transportation where everyone just hops in. And you have no problems about people being late or
so more so trouble. Having that vehicle for everybody than kind of that procession of cars, I guess, all decorated with the flowers on them anymore.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
Does that still go on?
Or? But well, even in the limo, I mean, people request it, believe it or not, like the pom-poms and
yeah, the
just
pom-poms
married.
And just married. Yeah, dragging cans.
Yeah, that would actually be really cute, actually.
Rochelle did find the website where these are from, actually, these A to Z, and we've kind of taken them a little further than what they had on the site, but I thought it was a good way to follow through this wedding planning thing with Rochelle, and that's at hitched.co.uk. You can actually find these things there in maybe a little shorter form than what we've got going on here. U is for underwear. Okay, so wedding lingerie is traditionally a firm favorite with brides, and it'll make your wedding night even more special. So I guess I have to agree there.
And of course you're going to agree.
Is there anything that you get into in planning with brides as far as their undergarments or what they should wear that
Absolutely.
Evening?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. Believe it or not, I mean, I've planned and coordinated over 100 weddings and it was actually on my checklist. Mm-hmm. And I would always ask them, have you or will you be buying lingerie for underneath the dress?
Wear something clean.
Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, nothing more special than surprising your groom with something new under your dress on the mm-hmm. wedding night, right? So, I tell brides, have fun with it, you know, because brides always have to find something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So I tell them sometimes you can incorporate your something blue underneath your dress or new, whatever. So I don't know if it's appropriate to be old or borrowed. but yeah, I'm thinking the new and the blue. You can always incorporate that with the lingerie. I think it's always great.
And I have to ask this. Did you come across anybody that chose not to wear anything?
It happens. It happens.
Okay. I don't know why that ran across my mind. But anyway, V is for vows. Most people still follow tradition when it comes to wedding vows, but adding something of your own can add a personal touch to the ceremony.
You know what? I couldn't agree more. But believe it or not, in this day and age, you would think that it would be a lot more popular to come up with vows because, of course, you see it on TV all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And people want a lot of times what they see on TV and all those kind of things. But believe it or not, mostly brides and grooms will usually ask what's traditionally done from the priest or pastor or the officiant. But I always tell them, you know, incorporate something traditional or customized. And the guests absolutely love that. Because it just is, you know, they know the couple, and so it's more intimate and special, and it's nice. But it's not for everybody, mm-hmm. you know? Not everyone's like that. So usually a lot of people opt for traditional, but I think it's a great idea.
W for wedding rings. These days you can choose from more than just a traditional band of gold. If you want something more personalized, find a local jeweler or goldsmith who can design and make a ring, perhaps. Do you see a lot of that?
You know what? A lot more than you would think. And even nowadays, I am shocked when I hear bride and groom stories and stuff. I can't believe how many grooms will go pick the ring or even make something. Mm-hmm. They will ask them to custom design something.
Yeah.
And it's actually shocking because it never used to be like that, right? So it's actually quite special. But I'm really, really big on suggesting local, small, reputable jewelers, and they'll do just that. They'll customize. We have some really good ones in Windsor.
How much should you spend on a wedding ring? Is there still that golden rule of
3 times your salary or whatever? Yeah, like that, yeah. I think everyone's different.
Three times your monthly salary, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was actually. It was 3 times your monthly salary. That's like the etiquette, right?
Sure,
the etiquette rules.
So that's bottom line?
Most couples will spend between $3,000 to $10,000 on rings.
Wow.
And there's some pretty big rings out there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I see a lot of different kind of rings, but yeah, they usually average between 3,000 to 10,000.
X is for kisses. Keep a stick of lip balm handy. Both bride and groom will get plenty of kisses throughout the day. So is that anything that you encounter or that ever has come to mind to keep some lip balm because you're going to be going through that? Same as hand sanitizer, I'd imagine, maybe a lot of handshaking going on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, in Canada, we're not so kissy on the lips as other countries are, but definitely carry a clutch with all your necessities. I know a lot of brides they don't have the lip balm, but a lot of times they do have the, you know, just the little shiny lip stuff that they always have. So they have like a little clutch that they have all their necessities. The only thing that comes to mind with kissing is when I think kissing, I'm thinking the church.
Uh-huh.
One of the biggest things people do is kiss super quick in the church. And, like, I don't know why, because, you know, on TV, you always see these beautiful, like, couple, you know, Mr. and Mrs., da-da-da, you know, kiss your bride, mm-hmm. and then you see this beautiful kiss, but not usually. Like, in real life, it's just, like, a quick little peck, and they want it done and over with.
Yeah, well, you're doing it in front of hundreds of people or whatnot.
That's right, exactly. So we usually make them kiss again on the way out of the church, you know, just to catch it again, so.
Y is for why. The bride and groom should find some time to be alone during the day in order to remember that a wedding is about a long-term commitment, not just a big celebration. So give yourselves a few minutes of contemplation. Is that any advice that you've ever given anybody is to
huge
step back and take a breath or whatnot?
Huge. And yeah. I actually plan for it, and it's actually figured out and pre-planned ahead of time. And like I said, you know, with my husband and I, Jacques, what we do is right after we finish the family pictures and the wedding party pictures, we actually go and talk to the bride and groom, and we ask them to send the wedding party back to the limo. And not only can the wedding party eat, drink, relax by sending them to the limo, but the actual main reason is I want the bride and groom to breathe for a minute. I mean, because up to that point, it's like a whirlwind. I mean, they're like all nervous. They're getting ready. They're spending like 7 hours getting their hair and makeup done. There's bride and groom. There's family. There's everything going on. Then the whole emotion of seeing each other for the first time, the ceremony happens, family pictures, go, go, go. We're in a hurry and all this stuff. So it's like just like a time to breathe and just actually look at each other and be like, hello, I remember you. And just talk to each other. And what we suggest as photographers is, you know, just relax, have your moment together, and we could just take pictures as it's happening.
And finally, Z is for Z's. According to recent reports, 1/3 of newlyweds fall straight to sleep on their wedding night. Is that anything
that is
about?
Definitely what they say.
Wow.
So they are up before 7 o'clock in the morning. They're going all day and all night till mostly 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Gets really exhausted. What my personal suggestion is, delegate as much as possible the 2 weeks before your wedding. So then the week of the wedding, you can spend a lot of time resting, visiting with family that come to see you from far, and as much as possible, so that your wedding day is not emotional and you can actually enjoy your wedding night.
All right, great stuff. Thank you for being on a second week and going through all this with us, Rochelle. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay, for more information or to contact Rochelle for any possible wedding needs, visit weddingworkshop.ca or jacquesphotography.ca. And I will see each and every one of you back here, same time, same place. This is next week, of course. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. And thanks for listening.